Chapter 33. The next Sunday, Eleanor went together with Mrs. Jennings to Kensington Gardens, where she was surprised to meet Anne Steele. As usual, most of Miss Steele's conversation was tedious, idle chatter, but she did bring the information that Edward was to go to Oxford and intended to become a clergyman as soon as possible. This confirmed to Eleanor that Edward was determined to keep his promise and marry Lucy Steele. "Lord help 'em, how poor they will be," said Mrs. Jennings when she heard the news. Eleanor agreed that a clergyman's salary was a small amount for a family to live on. Soon afterwards, the Miss Dashwoods were visited again by Colonel Brandon. "I have heard of the injustice your friend Mr. Ferrars has suffered from his family," said the Colonel, addressing Eleanor. "Mrs. Ferrars does not know what she may be doing. I have seen Mr. Edward Ferrars 2 or 3 times, and am much pleased with him. I understand he wishes to become a clergyman. Will you please be so good as to tell him that I can find him a position at Delaford, if he thinks it worth accepting?" Eleanor was astonished at Colonel Brandon's offer, and thanked him for it with all her heart. "It is only a small rectory, and cannot provide him with enough to marry," added Colonel Brandon. "I am sorry I cannot help him more. His marriage must still be distant." Colonel Brandon had not been gone long when Edward himself came to visit. It was the first time Eleanor had seen him since news of his engagement became public, and her surprise and confusion were very great upon his sudden appearance. He too was much distressed, and they sat down together in a state of embarrassment. "I should have been extremely sorry to leave London without seeing you and your sister. I go to Oxford tomorrow," said Edward finally. "Allow me to congratulate you on your good fortune," said Eleanor. "Colonel Brandon, who was here only 10 minutes ago, has asked me to inform you that he has great pleasure in offering you a position at Delaford." "Colonel Brandon give me a living?" exclaimed Edward. "Can it be possible?" "He is greatly concerned about the cruel situation in which the unjustifiable conduct of your family has placed you," continued Eleanor. "Colonel Brandon seems a man of great worth and respectability," said Edward. "I must hurry away to give him my thanks, and to assure him that he has made me an exceedingly happy man." "When I see him again," said Eleanor to herself, as the door shut him out, "I shall see him as the husband of Lucy." Chapter 34. "Can it be true that Colonel Brandon has provided Edward with a living?" asked John Dashwood. "I heard about it yesterday by chance." "It is perfectly true," replied Eleanor. "It is truly astonishing. What could be the Colonel's motive?" "A very simple one," answered Eleanor. "To be of use to Mr. Ferrars. Edward is a very lucky man. But do not mention the matter to Fanny. She will not like to hear it talked of. Mrs. Ferrars also knows nothing about it at present, and I believe it is best to keep it concealed from her for as long as possible." "But why?" asked Eleanor. "Mrs. Ferrars has cast Edward off for ever. She cannot be interested in anything that befalls him now." "Your reasoning is good, but it is founded on ignorance of human nature," replied her brother. "Mrs. Ferrars can never forget that Edward is her son." Eleanor preferred to remain silent, remembering Mrs. Ferrars' treatment of Edward. "We think now," continued Mr. Dashwood, "of Robert's marrying Miss Morton." "Miss Morton, I suppose, has no choice in the affair," said Eleanor. "I suppose from your manner of speaking that it must be the same to Miss Morton whether she marries Edward or Robert." "Certainly there can be no difference. They are both very agreeable young men, and now that Edward has been disowned, Robert will be considered the eldest son." Chapter 35. There was now no reason for the Miss Dashwoods to remain in London, and they were eager to return to the country. Very early in April, they set out from Berkeley Street for Cleveland and Somerset, where they were to stay with the Palmers on their way back to Barton. After 2 days of travelling, they arrived at Cleveland, a spacious, modern house with extensive grounds. Marianne could not entirely control her emotion knowing that they were only a short distance from Willoughby's home at Combe Magna. She avoided company, and resolved to spend almost every hour of every day while she remained with the Palmers in the indulgence of solitary rambles. However, two delightful walks on the third and fourth evenings of her stay there, in long wet grass, gave Marianne a violent cold, which concerned everybody. She had a fever, pain in her limbs, a cough, and a sore throat, but refused all the prescriptions that were brought to her. The next day, Marianne was unable to sit up, and returned to bed where Eleanor looked after her. The doctor was sent for, and after examining his patient, encouraged Eleanor to expect that Marianne would be restored to health in a few days, although Mrs. Palmer was convinced that she and her baby should leave immediately in order to avoid infection. Marianne's condition did not seem to alter over the next few days, but when the doctor visited again, he declared her to be materially better. Her pulse was much stronger, and every symptom was more favourable than on his previous visit. However, in the evening, Marianne's condition became much more serious. She could not sleep, she was delirious, and cried out for her mother. The doctor was sent for once again, whilst Colonel Brandon offered to fetch Mrs. Dashwood from Barton. Dr. Harris's medicines had failed, and now Marianne's life was in danger. Eleanor kept a careful watch over her, checking her pulse and her breathing. She was sure that the severity and danger of Marianne's illness had been brought on by the weeks of misery she had suffered because of Willoughby. Slowly, however, Marianne's condition began to improve. She became more tranquil, and on his next visit Dr. Harris declared her to be entirely out of danger. When Marianne eventually slept calmly, every doubt was silenced. It was a cold and stormy night outside. Eleanor expected the arrival of Colonel Brandon with her mother at around 10 o'clock, but as early as 8 she was surprised to hear a noise outside, and indeed it was the carriage. She hurried downstairs, eager to reassure her mother and the Colonel that Marianne was much improved. However, when she entered the drawing room, she found there only Willoughby.